Sounds to me like you're daunted. Say it again like you're undaunted.
Welcome to a more somber episode of the Often Daunted podcast. Whether you're listening, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night, whenever you are listening, watching, this is the Often Daunted podcast, and I'm your host, Burke White. On this episode, you know, after going to the Bucket game, just celebrating so hard with the entire city of Bloomington, and just seeing successful identity installation of the highest order in Kurt Cignetti in Indiana football, I've now come to the conclusion, I've come to the realization, I am ignorantly optimistic. When I can choose ignorantly blissful optimism, I'm going to. At this point, with the way this team shows up to neutral site meetings under the Woodson era, it's how are we going to get the six necessary to hang banner six? We want the sixth banner. We need a leader that can get us there. And unfortunately, yeah, this might be a jarring episode because I have to turn in my true fan card. I fought the good fight for too long, honestly. I gave him the benefit of the doubt too long. And then, it's crazy. And, you know, I can say, okay, I am a patient man because I know that I'm being reasonable if my wife is over it. My wife loves Mike Woodson. Even when I was doubting last season, she's like, just give him the chance. He needs the players. My wife just loves to a fault, loves Mike Woodson. I got to say, her capacity to forgive laziness, tomfoolery, and dipshittery of the highest order knows no bounds. She married me. She is a very patient woman. Even, like, if she's out, I know that I'm not just being flippant here. That is a barometer for patience, I have to imagine the rest of the Indiana fan base is just about through with it, just about sick of it, because it is getting tiring time after time. That is why on this episode, I was so pumped to have an opportunity to sit down with Jeff Sherman of the Hoosier Court Pod and vent through my personal realization, my personal come to Jesus moment, and understanding that in order to string together neutral site wins, you have to show that you can have a neutral site win. And unfortunately, Mike Woodson, same result, different roster year after year. Mike Woodson, the player, absolute legend. No discrediting that man, that individual. Mike Woodson, the coach, has for the most part just let us down whenever presented with the opportunity to make a statement. Yeah, sure, he has wins over Purdue, and we love wins over Purdue. But come on, we want March relevance. Like, we want to be a power. And I'm just pumped to have gotten to sit down with Jeff to vent about just the crushing realization and the swallowing the this ain't it pill finally. cannot thank him enough. As always, after that recap, because I just joined him and then we just recapped the tournament in entirety. So we'll have that for you on this episode. And then it'll be on to the Indiana news, just news around the program, some of the stuff that Mike had said at that Don Fisher show Monday, but after that it'll be the national news, then it'll be on to the Flaunted and the Daunted, the winners and losers for the week. And it's a very bummer Flaunted and the Daunted, because damn, if we weren't some of the biggest losers in town as far as basketball goes, football just doesn't stop winning as far as basketball goes. And after that it will be on to your a preview of Sam Houston State and Miami of Ohio. Those opponents, as they are, like, I have very little expectations for what we need to do. Like, we should manhandle them. But then again, how can I expect that from what we saw in the battle for Atlantis? I'll just preview a few of those players. Nothing much. I'm not digging into them, man. I'm sick. I'm not digging into Sam Houston State and Miami of Ohio too deeply, because guess what? Looking into Indiana basketball right now is bumming me out. So I am going to give you what I can. And I hope you appreciate it. If you do appreciate it, please feel free to let me know. Follow me across all socials at Often Daunted. Across all socials. If you like the show, please feel free to leave a subscribe on the audio, a subscribe on the YouTube. Go ahead and leave a comment, like, you know the drill, whatever the case may be. Doesn't cost you anything, just helps my ego and helps the show get seen. Unfortunately, you know, I wish I could have a little more fun on it right now, but we have to talk about the cold, hard truths that I'm coming to. And they are some of the coldest, hardest ones that I have. Like, it's, yeah, this is just rough. Rough seeing this again with this roster. And yeah, well, of course, we'll get into it after the Flaunted and the Daunted. Yes, after the Flaunted and the Daunted, it'll be a Hoosier history hit. And then we will get, oh, yeah, preview Hoosier history hit. Then we'll get you on out of here. All right. So without further ado, I'll just get you on over to Jeff, really being a great ear for me to vent to, really shepherding me into the post true fan lifestyle. Can't thank him enough. Again, go follow Hoosier Court Pod. Great pod. They have been the harshest reality for me to listen to. I've been just in my mind just being like, how can I defend that against Woodson? How can I can no longer defend it. It's beyond reasonable doubt. We cannot show up at neutral sites in this era. It's crazy. So yeah, on to that. Thanks.
Hoosier Nation, what's up? Battle for Atlantis recap time. I know you're really excited for this one. We've got a good friend in the house today. Burke from Often Daunted is joining in, stepping in. Ben was in Baltimore for his beloved Philadelphia Eagles. So he doesn't have to talk about the Battle for Atlantis because he's celebrating a win as the Eagles beat the Raven. But Burke, how's it going? I know you were at the Bucket game last night, so things a little bit better.
Still recovering, but man, it is awesome getting to watch what competent leadership looks like. And yeah, I mean, I just can't thank you enough for having me on the show. You know, look, really shepherding me through my come to Jesus moment with this whole neutral site Mike Woodson issue. And I'm just happy to be on the show. Thank you so much for letting me come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you came to the right place. Certainly, if you've listened to us before, we were not in the camp of Woodson, but I think, you know, around last February, right? Everybody was kind of like, man, I don't know, right? Some of the bigger names in the IU, you know, podcaster blogger world were starting to pump up the heat a little bit. And we're just a small show here, so he probably didn't hear us. But I think more and more folks are now kind of on that vein, and we'll talk about, you know, all the, you know, the game, the debacle against Louisville. We'll talk about the Gonzaga game, which IU looked good for a little bit. And then the Providence win, obviously salvaging something there, and maybe some big picture and, you know, dare I say, maybe a hot board, coaching hot board 1.0. But Burke, you've moved over to the dark side. Was there a moment in Atlantis where you're like, okay, this is it?
It's just the same thing, different players. Like, that was it. Like, I'm like, he's never going to have a roster that we are like as like hyped up for, as just gung-ho about. This was his year to prove it. And what did he do in the first true test? Laid an egg. Like, laid the egg of all eggs. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
Hey, I wanted to say, you guys aren't Mike Woodson haters. I've always come to your guys' show because you guys are the brutal truth sometimes. Like,
yeah, and we're realistic, right? It's not pessimism if you're realistic, in my opinion.
Yes.
And I tell my wife anyway. So
anybody not familiar with my show, I put myself out there as ignorantly optimistic. You know, I'm always going to see the silver linings with this stuff. I'm always going to fight to just believe as like onto that last shred. At this point, it would be just delusional optimism to think anything else is going to happen. And that's just, yeah, that was the truth that slapped me across the face after that Louisville game. And then only to be followed up with, I mean, just run it back with Gonzaga. So,
yeah. And I mean, you know, we had hope. I was off work Wednesday. I was, you know, I bellied up with a good friend to watch the game. And my goodness gracious, it got ugly early. And some of the things we'd seen, right, up through the first four games were there. We just were able to mask them against inferior competition. And let's be honest, Louisville isn't really that good of a team. I don't even know if they end up making the tournament or not.
They got like 30 piece by Tennessee the week before. Man, yeah. It's so frustrating. And it's like we get all this hype year after year. We build it up, and then when it is time to prove anything, it's just nowhere. It is nowhere. And I was talking at the Bucket game with some of the guys around the fire, and I was just like, man, like, I always thought Indiana fans, like basketball fans, have as of late been Nebraska football fans, but Indiana basketball is Nebraska football. Like, it's just, we can have all the hype in the world. We can say, hey, this team looks like it can blah, blah, blah. When it's time to prove your mettle, like, it's just nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I mean, it really is mind-boggling, and we shouldn't be surprised by the results we saw in Atlantis, right? Because Mike Woodson, in his entire tenure, has gotten blown out a lot, and we consider a blowout anything more than 15 points, in my opinion. I think that's kind of a stat that people have been using. And, you know, both losses. And really, the Louisville loss should have been more than 30. Got some late buckets there. Leo hits a three at the end to save you from getting beat by 30. And then you back it up the next day. You know, you're thinking, okay, let's, you know, maybe we flushed this thing and it was just, hey, had too much fun in the sun for a day. Maybe Trey Galloway stayed up too late. A lot of rumors out there on that. I tried to, who knows?
I know. Like, I'm always on the side of, you got to side with the players. You got to, but the evidence, like, there are multiple pictures, it's him. He's at that blackjack table. Like, whatever the Twitterverse pictures have been circulating, Trey Galloway was out playing blackjack when he should have been. He was on a business trip.
Yeah.
That's what the fans get to go and play blackjack. Yeah, you're on a business trip.
And I think the conflict of it is people are saying it was late. We don't know that that's true, right? We know it was there. We don't know. We won't get into that. That's another episode. Maybe that's an off-season episode. Maybe we can get Trey on here and actually answer the questions for us. But, yeah, so you back it up with a performance. I mean, and again, if you told me going into this, Indiana plays Gonzaga and loses by 16, that's a team that may win the national championship, I would be like, all right, you know, it's happened, you know, flush it. But that coming off that Louisville loss, and Indiana looked like they were in it for a bit there with Gonzaga, but Mike Woodson gets in his own way. Just the rotations, they don't make a lot of sense. I think he still thinks he's coaching the Hawks in the 90s. I just don't know what he's doing.
I'm just like at a sheer loss for just the lack of any life, like anything on the sideline. Like, and it was so glaringly apparent in that first game when Luke Good is just the guy that is trying to call for anything. And it's Luke Good is the guy who's just gotten here. Like,
yeah.
Luke Good is the guy who probably spent time in a program where a competent coach showed what like coaching, like at the very least looks like. And yeah. I mean, Luke Good doing his best impression, just trying to do what little he can. And I love it.
Yeah.
I like, say what you will about what he's been doing, but that's also kind of on just what's going on with Woodson. Why is Luke Good a certified sniper for 3 years? And then what?
It's poison, man. It's crazy. You come to Indiana and all of a sudden you can't shoot. And I know you think about Luke, right? Like, he grew up, I mean, an Indiana fan. He goes to Illinois, but you know he's always watched Indiana, right? And wanted to be, when you come and be a part of this program. And that is leadership, right? And he can only do so much. Like, he's a role player on this team. And I thought he had some decent moments, actually, one of the few guys that actually had some decent moments over the week. He did get a couple of shots to go down and things like that. But that moment of, and I don't necessarily have a problem with Woodson standing back and letting that happen if that was the normal.
Yes.
But that's the first time I've ever seen anybody do that.
Like, even Dockage pointed to it. He was like, hey, you got to just kind of let him go when it's his time. And it's like, yeah, that I would be in that camp if it weren't the fact that he just wasn't doing anything the whole game. Like,
yeah.
I've never seen him chew anybody out like that. Like, and it's like, if it was like out of place that this was like the one incident that it's happened, it's just, man, just too little too late throughout the rest. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's you said it right at the top. It's the same thing, different roster, right? The same, you know, poor rotations on defense, right? Disjointed lineups, second chance points, foul trouble with Malik Renew. We could spend a whole episode on that. Like, he's got to stay on the floor, not playing him with two fouls, you know, seeing you're getting your tail kicked and you're leaving him over there. Like, maybe you got to bring him back in because you're not, like, that's the one thing with Woodson over the years that blows my mind is like, look, dude, you've gotten your brains beat in so many times. Like, maybe playing the guy with two fouls is going to keep you in it. Cause who cares if he's got four fouls when you're down 25?
Who cares? Those minutes, you're going to lose them now or you're going to lose them later. You're going to lose them. Like, just play it.
Yeah. And you know, so then you talk about Indiana on the last day, right? They beat Providence by 16, right? So it's, you know, they salvage something, and I don't think Providence is very good, quite frankly. And Indiana, you know, won the game as much as they should. They kind of let them try to come back in a couple times, but, you know, Indiana, you know, was able to get the win. So big picture from this trip, can you take anything from that Providence game? You're an optimist. You're more than I am, certainly. Is there something you can take from that Providence game to say, hey, at least we were able to salvage a game. We probably figured we were going to lose to Gonzaga in the winner's bracket, most likely, had we both advanced, right? Gonzaga got upset. So can you take something away of saying, okay, they went 1-2, or is it just the Louisville loss is just too much to swallow?
Dude, I want to say that we can take something from this, but I think that that this performance has broken my thinking of Indiana. Like, the just trying to take anything from it. The three-point shooting that we were making, we ain't ever going to do that. We ain't doing that ever again against a squad, like, let alone against Providence. But, and also Providence lose, like, not having their single best player on the floor, big factor. It's just such a sad state of affairs with all the hype that this roster had, that we're in the battle for not last place come the third day in Atlantis. It's crazy.
It's very disappointing. And, you know, if you want to talk about individual performances a little bit here, and then, you know, maybe do a little big picture, but our backcourt was horrible.
Yeah,
the entire weekend.
Yeah, 2 points in that week.
The entire week, I should say. Wasn't on the weekend, but whatever. Across the board, I don't think they actually scored in the first game, or like there was a late basket, I think. You know,
yeah, Niles hit one bucket, 1 for 11 yeah. From the floor.
And it's – you can't have that. Like, no. That looked like last year's production. And it's got me concerned that, you know, it seems like Woodson's been able to develop bigs – right. I think Umar Ballo had some good moments, you know, with, you know, just being able to score. He was the reason we probably didn't get beat by 40 or 50 in one of the games. But the backcourt, like, that can't happen. And then Carlisle couldn't go on the third day. I want to get your thoughts on this. I read some of the quotes, too, about, oh, I was hoping Trey Galloway would wake up, and I didn't know if he – what are we doing here? This isn't the NBA back-to-back stuff. These kids are – 18 to 24 years old, you tell me they can't play 3 days in a row? Yeah. Are they not in condition? They don't look like they're in condition. Crean said that on the halftime, which,
yeah,
you know, I'm sitting there nodding my head to Tom Crean like, yep, he makes a lot of sense here.
Dude, when you're focusing on sucking wind, you don't get to focus on the little things, and we need people that sweat the little things. Like Cignetti's whole I'm going back to football because he right now is a shining example to me of what leadership looks like. And he is a guy who sweats the little things, and he has his guys conditioned enough that guess what? They don't have to worry about having the energy to sweat the little things. Like in that game, the Louisville game, Miles Rice, there was a pass that he had in the corner out to Trey up top. Trey just looking away, handles it off his foot out of bounds, like it, uncontested turnovers. And it's just, that is crazy. And it's like, watching him, and Mike loves talking about just the Indiana program that he was a part of, the Indiana program that Bobby built. Like, dude, Bobby would be killing people trying to get in, like, just anything. I wish I could put into words what I'm trying to say. It's just...
It's maddening. It is. It does leave you speechless.
It's maddening. It leaves you just awestruck because, like, after that game, Woodson's first thing, he's saying... we're not going to let this team forget about this game. This is embarrassing. And I'm just like, Woodson, dude, have you not forgot about your like 8 neutral site games? Like, so, do you mind if I just go through the list?
Absolutely.
Okay. March 2022. Sorry. Trace Jackson Davis beats Wyoming in the first 4. Then we lose to St. Mary's in Portland in the first round, 82-53 to St. Mary's. December 10th, 2022, the 14th ranked Hoosiers have the chance to show national competitiveness against against Kara Carissa, Umar Ballo, and the 10th ranked Arizona Wildcats in the MGM Grand in Vegas. Indiana beaten 89-74 in that game, and it was way more embarrassing than a 15-point deficit would make you believe, which is saying something about Indiana basketball. March 11th, 2023, United Center, number 3 seed Indiana, and 3 seed and 19 ranked Indiana loses to number 10 seed Penn State, thanks to Jalen Pickett's booty ball, 77-73. A week later, three-seeded Hoosiers lose to the fifth-seeded Miami Hurricanes in the Midwest bracket, 85-69. November 19th, 2023. This is tiring. November 19th, 2023, with a chance to show any ounce of metal against the number five UConn Huskies in Madison Square Garden, the Hoosiers lose 77-57. Gabe Cupps with a team-high two assists in that one. Just shows you the ball movement on these neutral courts. Like, it's crazy. December 9th, 2023. Holiday Hoopsgiving in Atlanta, in which me and the boys made a huge plan. You know, we spent thousands upon thousands of dollars like coordinating this. And Indiana, Auburn makes us look absolutely like an average 2A high school team, 104-76. March 15th, 2024. Sure, they were the higher seed, but Indiana on the bubble needs a really good showing against number three seeded Nebraska. Goes out and loses 93-66. I can't keep smiling through these. I can't keep looking for silver linings and trying to say, hey, this is the neutral site that we prove it. You guys, this is Indiana basketball. Like, whenever I'm on these Big Ten shows, whenever I'm doing a guest spot, I'm just like, guess what? Indiana fans do get to be like this. We do get to be like, we should be better because we put so much more into basketball than the rest of these schools. Like, they can say, oh, you're delusional for thinking that. No, like, the resources, the numbers say, the support, the resources that Mike Woodson has at his disposal are second to none in this conference.
Is it salvageable? I mean, then we're going on literally, you know, damn near 30 years of ineptitude, right? I mean, going into back to the late Bobby Knight, not quite 30. Right. But I mean, yes, we've had some moments, some Big Ten titles, number one seed, all that stuff. I mean, we are Nebraska football. Is this salvageable? I mean, can Woodson rectify this? I think you just read the reasons why. Probably not, I think, at this point. So can he salvage it? And if not, who the heck can?
I want a successful college coach. Most successful college coaches are the slimiest dudes. You can see the slime on them. But it's like they're slimy because they're trying too hard. They're doing too much. Mike Woodson's problem is he's not doing enough. Like, I want somebody who, like, the problem is he's out there doing way too much for us. Like, we need to rein him back. And yeah. Woodson is the exact opposite of that.
It's very... you know, cavalier, you know, goes into like the, you know, that picture last year where he was drinking red wine with Eddie White from the Pacers. I went on a big rant after we lost to Kansas. I'm just like, dude, like, maybe don't do that. Like, it's just bad optics. Like, you don't really care. Like, this is not a retirement gig.
Oh my God. I cannot believe you said that. That is literally the thought. I said retirement job in my head driving today. I was like, how does he... like, does every player who ever played for Bobby Knight should know the gravity of the position he has? Like, yeah. That isn't the retirement job, man. That is the prime. Yeah. That is the job for a top five coach in college basketball, a top five effort, like, all around. And it's just crazy frustrating continues to be the case.
I work in the banking business, right?
Yeah.
And, a lot of times you see these older gentlemen get these golden parachute jobs at the end, and they're just kind of mailing it in, getting stock options, all this stuff, right? And I kind of feel like that's what Woodson's doing. I don't feel like he's working. I do believe, you know, Hunter and Roseman and Walsh and Calvert Chaney and Jordan Hulls, those guys, I think they put the time in. I think they do the work. Cliffy Marshall, all those folks that are his support staff, I do think they actually put the work in. I don't think Woodson does, and it shows. It maybe doesn't show against the UNC Greensboro. Probably did a little bit. They didn't play that well in that game. But it shows when you go play Auburn and you get beat by 30. When you're playing Bruce Pearl, when you're playing Dan Hurley, when you're playing Mark Few, hell, Pat Kelsey wiped you. And, I mean, I think Pat Kelsey's a pretty good coach, actually, at Louisville. I think Louisville got that right. And you know, Indiana's 5-2, right? And, you know, we got 24 more games to go before any type of postseason play. And I don't think, you know, things would have to go. There would have to be some sort of scandal to fire a coach in the, we've done it, but that was Kelvin Sampson, right? In the middle of a year. I don't see that happening with Woodson. I think they've got, Dawson's got enough respect for him. I think he's going to let him ride this out. But I don't want some sort of, like, I think they call it like a dead cat bounce, where we end up salvaging something and it's a 20 and 11 year and you sneak into the play-in and you maybe win that one. And then you get your doors blown off and you're like, well, he's made the tournament, you know, three or four seasons, that type of stuff. Like, this team reeks of being talented enough to be able to do something like that. Does that scare you?
Yeah. Cause then we're just doing it all again with just a higher bill. Like, we're doing it all again, just paying way more money to do it. And yeah, which is just gutting. How does that inspire us to just keep up this support? Like, I credit to our fan base, dude. We are being dragged through the mud. And then he's going to go out there and say true fans. And, like, that's, you know what? A true fan would be fed up with what's happening. Like, a true fan would ask, like, yo, you watch Bobby Knight. Where's an ounce of that?
There's two true fans right here talking about it. We're not making our livings probably on our podcast, right?
Heck
we just love Indiana
My
basketball.
Wife is, I'm spending so much money on this.
And it is maddening, and we love it, and we support the team, and we support the program, and the university, and you talk about all the good things that's happening with football, and that helps stomach this. I mean, you were in Bloomington, you know, for the bucket game, and you said you were talking to some folks around. I mean, is there anybody in the camp of, like, hey, we think we can turn this around, or is it, hey, who's next?
No. As far as I can tell, it's like Ant Wright is it. Like, yeah. And even then, I, like, back then I was on Ant Wright, like, mindset, where he's, yeah, we got the bigs. He can figure out the bigs. He just needs the guards. Well, he went out and got, like, the Pac-12's guards. He said that conference is gone. The all-conference team, I would like that all-conference team. And it was, as far as the Woodson perspective goes, around the campus, it was not great. Yeah. Not great.
And you figure you're in year four, and I believe Woodson got a six-year deal, and then he got an extension of a one-year extension or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was a raise. I don't know. But after year four, and we saw this with Crean, I think, in his second deal, you either have to extend or you have to fire. And so Dawson's going to be at a crossroads. And you see, you know, let's say Indiana College football or Indiana football makes the college football playoff. That's $10 million payday for the athletic department. Yeah. There you go. I mean, I don't want to spend that to fire the basketball coach, but I feel like we're probably going to have to.
I mean, it's a stagger. Like, it is crazy where we are in Indiana sports that this is the conversation we're having. Like, dude, I guess our football team has to do it for us because basketball ain't doing it. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, I mean,
And
I mean, since you invoked football, and I think we do need to give a shout out to the football Hoosiers, 11-1, best season ever. Yeah. Where do you think Indiana football lands in the final rankings? I know there's some, I was reading things, and, like, I've always traditionally been a very casual college football fan. I'm a maniac fan in almost everything else except for college football. And that's been just because, like, hey, Indiana's been my football team. It's where I went to school. Like, I've always supported them. You know, mostly on the low end, and now they're good. And I'm like, I told my wife, like, has a calendar, and she writes all of our teams, the dates of the game. She goes, I've specifically left IU football off of the calendar because they're doing well. I was like, keep leaving them off there because they're the only team that's actually winning that I support right now. So where do you see when all the chips are down? Obviously, we've got championship Saturday to come up for football. I mean, where do you feel Indiana falls in the, are they in for sure? Do we feel like they're a lock?
Yeah, they're okay. They're a lock. As far as where they fall, probably playing in the play-in game, not hosting a game. But I that is the biggest win in Indiana football history. just being invited. Like, guess what? This fan base gets to get excited about just being invited because we've never been invited to anything. You get to dress up, you get to put the pearls on, you get to have a night because
It's the weekend before Christmas. It's either going to be Friday night or a Saturday afternoon game, and you know, maybe that's in Happy Valley. Maybe it's at SMU. I wouldn't have any problem going to either one of those. I'd prefer not to have to go to a Georgia or Ohio State again or anything like that. So I think they're in. It scares me of, you know, when I read some of the pundits that say, oh, watch out for bid stealers. It's not a, like they're already SEC SBN is already trying to fan the flames a bit of a, like, let's, I don't think they have, I don't think they have enough. I think that 11-1, 66-0, that's the last thing people are going to remember of Indiana. I think it's enough to get them. I think maybe they end up 10 or 11.
I think Michigan winning helps us look a little better. If Penn State had won that game, or if Penn State had lost yesterday and Indiana would have been in the Big Ten title game, I think that hurts us. I think that if there is, like, we would be the only team to lose in the title game, that they're going to be like, well, you lost in the title game. Yeah. Like, we would 1,000% be that program. And I'm grateful to Penn State for not letting us play in the Big Ten championship, because now we get to play in the college football playoff. And in the first year, I want Indiana to be on that stage.
And you get to recruit, right? You got essentially a bye week, and you can hit that portal while you're preparing for the playoff. I mean, he's talked about that already. He's going to treat it like that. So there's going to be a tons of guys hit the portal. I think Purdue had like 5 guys hit the portal before the bucket game.
Yeah, and as far as recruiting transfers right now, like, imagine walking into the room with evidence,
like, quarterback behind
you right now.
Why wouldn't you want to go
have who he wants now?
Yeah, why would you not, if you're a one-year transfer quarterback, not want to come to Indiana after you just watched Curtis Work throw 6 touchdowns in the snow?
Yes, he looks like the class of the Big Ten from the MAC. Like, dude.
Yeah, let's do it. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. Obviously, that'll be coming up on, you know, later this week, and then the final one. So, you know, just another thing to give me anxiety about. So let's, while we round us out, let's go back to our beloved basketball Hoosiers. So let's talk. You and I were texting a little bit and just kind of talking about, let's say Indiana, they move on from Mike Woodson at the end of the year. I know it's December and we're 3.5 months away from that, but I think we all saw what we saw in Atlantis, and we're going to see it more this year. And if they turn it around, you can clip this and come back to us after this and say, hey, Jeff Burke, and we know Ben's saying it, he's just not with us today, we know he's saying it too, we were wrong, fine, right? But it would take some sort of magical run, in my opinion, based on all the evidence I've seen. So let's say Indiana moves on. If you were Scott Dolson, you can hire, within reason, right? You have a couple names of folks that you're thinking of, and let's see if maybe we're on the same page.
These are absolute pipe dreams, okay, guys?
Okay.
Mike isn't gone. Mike isn't.
I'm taking notes here.
Yeah, as far as who I would want at the top, I mean, Bruce, like, before that plane incident, I would have said Bruce Pearl. But then after the plane incident, that team looked better and, like, crazy good.
Yeah.
Like, so
they look like the best team in the country right now.
Yeah. That's a guy, like, if he has to have make hard decisions and they have to have tough talks, like, he got through it and they looked like a more solidified unit for it. Like, so I don't want to knock him for that plane incident. Like, honestly, the way the team responded after landing, credit to him for that.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, probably, I mean, Tommy Lloyd, if we could get him from Arizona.
Tommy Lloyd. Okay. Tommy Lloyd. So let me ask you about a name. I don't think Indiana would do it, but he has Bob Knight on his shirt. He's been in some hot water at Texas, certainly, and now he's at Ole Miss.
Okay.
It's Chris Beard.
Some hot water, Indiana, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, hey, I get it. Guilty until proven innocent, or innocent until proven guilty in this circumstance, it sounds like. Yeah. Based on the police report I read of Chris Beard, it did not look good. I think he's a hell of a basketball coach. I don't know that Indiana would do that with his background. What do you think about him?
I don't think we need that. Like, if there's actual paper trail of activities that on your name, like, we just, these guys are, they have too much money for somebody like that to lead them. Like,
there's slime and then there's like
the crime. Yeah, there's
right.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's slime like, and crime. I like that. I like that.
Like Bruce Pearl's slimy.
Yes.
Chris Beard's crimey. Right. Like, I think.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I have people I know that are like, hey, he was never, all the charges were dropped, yada, yada. I'm like, dude, I read the police report and it ain't good. And that's, I mean, if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, it was domestic violence situation like that. But he's a hell of a basketball coach. So that I just put him out there as a name and just, you know, he is at a, he's an Ole Miss, but I think he blew his opportunity at Texas. Who knows?
I think with the resources of a pool of players that Indiana is going to bring in, that Indiana is going to pay. You have to have a guy that knows how to, I mean, lead men, like,
yeah,
or lead boys and turn them into men.
Like, correct. It's hard to do that. And I get like every arena you go into Mackey Arena, there's going to be a big, huge picture of his mugshot everywhere you go, yeah, even though he didn't. So that's one name I threw out there. I can't believe we're having this conversation, Burke, but we are.
Dude, I know. It's December. Like, hey, happy December 1st. It's the 1st of December, and we have to have this. Jesus.
Well, this is coaching board 1.0. Yes. Other name, and this may be, we may have missed the boat on this, but Dusty May. Could he be a one and done at Michigan to come to Indiana? Is it even worth Indiana pursuing that? Would he say, hey, you had your chance?
Yes, it is. It's 1,000% worth Indiana pursuing that. And I think he could, man. I think he could. If he has enough confidence in himself that, like, yo, guess what? I can burn that bridge because I'm not going to need any bridges once I get to Indiana. Like, because then I got it. So, like, but that takes a supreme confidence in yourself and your work ethic to take that on, knowing that, hey, I got to screw over in conference team. Want like after 1 year, but I think Indiana could get it done. I think Scott, yeah. I think Dusty likes the program enough. He has enough of a connection to it. I mean, there, I would see, I speak as a fan. So I'm just like, yeah, makes sense to me. It's Indiana. Why wouldn't he want to? Why?
I mean, you just paid your football coach like Penn State money. So, hey, it's possible. So I think we've thrown out some pretty good names for December and, you know, We'll circle back to this in, let's say, you know, March 15th, probably. That's the last day of the Big Ten tournament. Not that anybody's got that date on their calendar circled, but I think that, unfortunately, folks, we are going to have that conversation. And I hope more than anyone, and I'm sure you do as well, Burke, that they I can't root for Indiana to lose. I will never root for Indiana to lose. I can't. I don't have it in me. I want Mike Woodson to turn this around, but he's got to look in the mirror and figure out what's going on because this can't continue, right? You've got four relatively easy games before you have any, well, you got Big Ten mixed in there, but you got four more pre-conference games, I believe, right? What are they, 5-2 now? So you got four more pre-conference games and you got a 20-game slate in the league. So any of your big wins, you're going to have to really make them up. You know, South Carolina at home and Providence on a neutral is not going to get you in a tournament. So you're going to have to win some of these Big Ten games. But, I mean, I had originally said I thought Indiana would be 24-7, and now I look like an idiot. I don't believe they're going to get there. I've changed my
prediction. This is a 24-7 roster. This is a 24-7 roster. That's the craziest part. And why are we doing backflips in our own head? Speaking on myself right now, backflips to justify like going to war with anyone but the best leader we can have. Like, why are we justifying? Hey, yeah, Mike Woodson could get it done with this roster. I want a coach that could get it done with a lesser roster. Like, yeah. It's the
evidence is there, right? And I think, you know, I hope Indiana wins every game they play the rest of the season. But I think we've seen the evidence. You know, this is more like a 19-12 team with a very, you know, weak non-conference strength of schedule. They're going to have some good wins. There's no doubt this team's going to win some games, and they're going to lose some games to the lower tier of the Big Ten, which, quite frankly, they've been in for the bulk of the last several years. So we'll see where this goes, but really appreciate you coming on, Burke, to talk about And, you know, find him at Often Daunted. I think that's pretty much where you can find on everything, on all your social medias and everything. And make sure you go listen to his podcast. Tell our listeners, in case they're just hearing you for the first time, where they can find you.
Yeah, at Often Daunted across all socials. You can find my YouTube. Just started that up for this season. You know, I said this is a really great season. This is going to be a fun season to finally start the video side for. So I have that going on. You can find me on YouTube. Subscribe there. As for that, yeah, that's just about it. Podcast available wherever you get yours. I cannot thank you enough for having me on. I got to say, like, recording a recap on this tournament alone would have truly been a just depressing venture. So I am so grateful that you let me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. And we'll do it again.
Misery loves company.
Misery does love company. So again, find Burke at Often Daunted on all anywhere out there and check him out. He's got some good quips on Twitter, taking some shots at some other Big Ten schools and whatnot. And I know you make your way around the Big Ten, Burke, as always. So thanks so much. Congrats to our Indiana football Hoosiers. Go keep shocking the world. Let's get it done.
Congrats to Purdue. Indiana made enough example. They finally moved on.
They finally
growth.
You know, maybe we should only won by like 40, and maybe they would have kept the coach. But I don't think
so. Yeah, yeah. Did we just make a grave mistake?
Maybe no, so, but it was fun doing Cignetti. It.
Not with Cignetti. We're good.
All right, Burke. Always love talking with you, and we'll see you down the road. Thanks, man.
For sure. Thank you. All right. Starting off the Indiana Hoosier news, I am going to start with something to celebrate, something of joy for us Hoosier fans. That is the Hoosiers win by the largest margin against a conference opponent in the AP poll era, 66-0. That was 66 points. I believe Purdue had 67 yards rushing on the day. What a statement win. Kicking the doors in his first rivalry bout with Purdue. Kurt Cignetti, you're the freaking man. Keep it rolling. This playoff is going to be fun. Speaking of the Indiana football team, defensive player of the week for the Big Ten goes to Jalen Walker. Indiana recorded an interception, a forced fumble, and 1.5 sacks in 66-0 win against Purdue. And this was the first shutout since 2020. For the Hoosiers against Michigan State in that one. He had 5 tackles in that game as well, including a career-high 4 tackles for a loss. Awesome. Awesome display of force by him on that front line. Curtis Rourke, offensive player of the week for the Big Ten, led Indiana to a dominant 66-0 win versus Purdue to reach a program record 11 wins, completed 23 for 31 passes for 349 yards and a career-high 6 touchdown passes, tying the most for an IU quarterback. Well done, Curtis Rourke, an absolute legend. Cannot believe this guy's as good as he is that Kurt Cignetti was able to go out there and get him. The Hoosiers debut at number 71 in the net rankings following their abysmal Atlantis trip. And so needless to say, we are actually in a worse spot than we started most seasons with Mike Woodson, despite the upgraded payroll, despite the promise of the roster being complete. Utterly pathetic and embarrassing right now for Indiana basketball. How else do you put it, man? Look at every headline on like power rankings and that. Indiana plummets, Indiana falls. They're laughing at us. It's ridiculous. Trey Galloway gambling. Yes, there was that going around, a picture of him gambling. And there were several pictures of him wearing the attire that was shown in the gambling picture. And so I'm just going to say, I don't care if you gamble, dude. You just have to win. Go and gamble. Go tear it up at night. But back it up on the floor, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm so frustrated. Just you have a blueprint and you need the discipline to instill it. This team doesn't have a blueprint right now. I don't know. How can you say anybody has an idea of what the plan is? John Miley has donated. Sorry. A good feel good story within the Hoosier community. John Miley has donated 44,000 tapes of sports broadcasts to the IU National Sports Journalism Center. The man's father bought him a tape recorder long ago, and he has just amassed an insane collection of top-notch
broadcast throughout the ages, like everything you could imagine. Awesome to see a gift like that given to IU National Sports Journalism Center. Well done, John. Thanks for the contribution. Congrats to Stephen Hoffer, the latest Sagamore of the Wabash, named by Governor Holcomb, one of Indiana University's own, a Indiana University journalism major who went on to Northwestern Law School, got his law degree there, set up a nice firm for himself, and currently president. Awesome to just see another Hoosier get that Sagamore of the Wabash. If you don't know what the Sagamore of the Wabash is, it is the top honor that the governor can give out to a citizen. Well done, Stephen Hoffer. After that wet fart of a battle for Atlantis run, Rothstein has moved the Hoosiers to number 43 in his Rothstein 45. Indiana is also out of the AP poll rankings as of today, number 31 in total voting at this time. Absolutely pathetic to see how far we dropped. I mean, understandably, with the performance that we saw on the floor. I had to hold out recording this for the just what Mike had to say on Don Fisher's show today at 7 p.m. Monday, recording this. On the Louisville game, like Woodson said, IU fell apart in the second half. And he said that that's his job to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And it seems like that is, I mean, how many different ways? Burst out your thesaurus. Let's see how we can say it's on me. I'm getting so tired of this. Tell me you have a plan and how it wavered from the plan. Please, please. Woodson had went on to say, we're 5-2 and still got a lot of basketball left. And he went on to elaborate how he doesn't sense frustration around the camp and that everyone, so far, no frustration. I find that hard to believe. We're 5-2 and still got a lot of basketball left. But we were saying shit like that last season, and where did we end up? Out of the tournament. And I mean, this roster has too much talent for them to have shown up like this. It's crazy. Woodson said he thought that Indiana had seen the old IU, the old Trey out there in the Providence game, and as much as we saw the old Trey, maybe we saw a Trey trying to make up for a lot of bad, I mean, press, a lot of bad, again, gamble. But win, dude. I don't care. Like, you just don't get to do both. You don't get to gamble and lose. You don't get to party and lose. You get a party and win, or none of it. Or you don't get a party. Whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. Win. And then you can do whatever, but win. God. Woodson says that Kenyon Carlisle hadn't been practicing the last 2 days and will not play against San Houston State on Tuesday. Just interesting stuff. Rumors floating around, but I'm not going to invest too much in them yet. Let's see where it all falls. That being said, it's just not great right now. That was your Indiana news. Let's get on to some of the conference news. Walters has been fired. We did little bro the biggest favor. We made it beyond a doubt that this guy had to go, that they could not take the field next year with a guy who just got beat by their rival 66-0. You just cannot take on another season like that when he ends the season like that. We did them such a huge favor. You're welcome, Purdue, for beating you 66-0. Shout out John Carpenter for having more rushing yards as a defensive end than the entire team of Purdue. So, Tom Allen is a Broyles Award nominee for Coordinator of the Year, and I just wanted to say that to say, hey, Purdue, you looking for a coach? You looking for a coach? Tom Allen's looking for a job? Let's hook it up. Let's make it work. It'd be some fun games. Player of the Week for the Big Ten Conference in basketball this week was Trey Kaufman-Wren. You hate to see it. Named MVP of the Rady's Children Invitational after leading number 8 Purdue to a pair of wins, scoring 23.5 points on 61.5% shooting from the floor, and also averaging 10.5 rebounds in that game. Freshman of the Week honors went to Dylan Harper. Averaged 30.3 points last week, including 29 of 34 from the free throw line in one game, or from in both games. He was able to tally 26 points in the win over Notre Dame and 37 in the loss to the number 9 Alabama Crimson Tide.
On to some Dan Hurley news. After finishing in last place, Dan Hurley whined like a little baby and says UConn will not be participating in any MTEs as long as he's coaching there moving forward. I'm not doing this another three-game. I'm not doing another three-game MTE again. Moving forward, we will only play home and homes or single-game events. I don't think I'll ever do a three-game MTE again. There's zero chance I ever do that again. Little baby, Danny Hoey is willy upset. Boo-hoo. Big 10 in the NET. Let's bring up the net. Yes, we need to bring up the net. The dreaded net. The net that Indiana refuses to cater to try to beat. Damn, figure it out, Indiana Hoosiers, because right now we are sitting at 13th in the conference. That is behind Iowa, Nebraska, Michigan State, Michigan, Penn State, Maryland, Purdue, Wisconsin, UCLA, Oregon, Ohio State, and Illinois. Indiana's currently sitting at number 71. Sound familiar? It should. That's about where we were last year. And also, reminder, we missed the tournament last year. Sad to see that we're sitting there right above Northwestern at 14. Good Lord, figure it out. We need expectations, man. This is crazy. Results. Oregon beats. Yeah, these are the results around the conference if you're new to the show. Last year I did every single result. I cannot do that with 18 teams. So I am just picking out a few that sparked my eye since the last time of recording. And with it being Thanksgiving, the bucket game, and me just having way too much fun focusing on pretty much a lot of stuff other than college basketball with how the battle for Atlantis went for the Hoosiers. I've only got three games for you today. First off, Oregon beats number 9 Alabama 83-81 in the Las Vegas Players Era MTE event to win that. They overall inconsistent squad, that Oregon team, but Dana Altman still finds a way to win, and they are sitting at 8-0. Oregon getting it done. Rutgers ending in fifth place of that event, losing to Texas A&M 81-77. And the last event I wanted to bring up was Purdue winning the Rady's Children's Invitational, beating Ole Miss in the championship round 80-78. That makes it back-to-back-to-back-to-back MTE tournament event wins, championship wins for Purdue. In 2021, they won the Tip-Off Classic. In 2022, they won the Phil Knight Legacy. In 2023, they won the Maui Invitational. In 2024, they won the Rady's Children's Invitational. And yet we just can't show up for a game on a neutral floor. It's crazy. Credit to them. Honestly, credit to them, because every time this Hoosier team takes the floor in a big moment to prove it, I get more impressed by what Matt Painter has done, by what he is doing with, it's not even arguably, a lesser roster. Oh, let's go on to the flaunted and the daunted. It's going to be a fun one. Starting off your flaunted when I can, I'm going to start off the flaunted with Kurt Cignetti. Kurt Cignetti and the playoff-bound Indiana Hoosiers. Basketball sweating a 68-team field, and Kurt Cignetti's got us in a 12-team playoff. Dear Lord, well done. What you can do in 1 year is absolutely astounding. Well done, Kurt Cignetti. Flaunted. Also, Mike Woodson, the basketball player. I don't ever want to let it go. Like, I don't ever want it misunderstood that I don't respect everything that Mike Woodson has done as a player at Indiana University. Never let it. Don't get it twisted. Mike Woodson, the basketball player, is forever flaunted. Matt Painter, the coach. I'm putting him on here this week. He wins their MTE time after time, reloading, not giving a damn about the roster he's given, just doing what he can with what he's got. And more often than not, he finds a way to get it done with that. Credit to them for winning that event this week, honestly. Daunted. Let's get on to the daunted. The players flaunted the coach, Mike Woodson, the Indiana basketball coach. You were the chosen one. You are daunted this week. Who is content? Like, Ohio State football is firing a guy who takes them to the football playoffs every year. And I know it's apples to oranges talking football to basketball, but that's program expectations. What are our program expectations? We said that we were going to go get him the roster, and it's the same result in these same tests as previous seasons, time and time again. It's just, whew. I had a real come to Jesus moment, guys. I need you to know that. Like, as far as my outlook and my just overall optimism for what this team can do, 6 neutral site wins you need against top competition to win a banner. Come on. Come on. Indiana basketball also daunted. I put Illinois here last week for dropping from the rankings, and I can't be a hypocrite. Indiana absolutely daunted this week. Indiana basketball, a lot easier to lose momentum than it is to gain it, especially with the non-conference opponents that we have. So this one truly hurts. This is a gutting delisting of the rankings. It is. UConn, last place, but close games. I'm going to put them on the daunted. I got to give them credit for them being close games because Indiana was losing and not in close games. But they did get last place. Again, Danny is a widow baby. Ryan Day, an egotistical coach that just wants it to win his own way. You saw him be like, I want to win how I want to win in that game. And you see what the results of that kind of thinking from a superior, you know, leader of men would be. Think about it. Think about just a coach who's like, I'm going to do it my way despite the roster, despite all of our success in other avenues and what we could do. Let's do it my way. That's why Ryan Day is daunted. Purdue football, record 7th appearance on the daunted list. I mean, 66-0 to your rival. Our defensive end gets more rushing yards than your entire team. We score one less point than you record run or yards in total. Absolutely dismantling of the Purdue football team. And you're welcome again, Purdue. You are so welcome for Ryan Day getting your Ryan Walters getting kicked to the curb. You are very welcome. Now it's on to Burke's Big Five this week. It is Burke's Big Five neutral site disappointments of the Woodson era. I'm getting it all out because I'm going to bring the optimism next week when we hopefully beat the doors off both Sam Houston State and Miami of Ohio. I can only hope because that is the crutch that I have to use now. Like there, I can't have evidence to that being a surefire, let's double them up win. Like it should be for an Indiana program. Just sat down with Jeff. But number 5, that Gonzaga game just now in the battle for Atlantis. Embarrassing. That is the number 5 neutral site disappointment of the Woodson era. Number 4, November 19th, 2023, with a chance to show any ounce of metal against the number 5 UConn Huskies in Madison Square Garden, the Hoosiers lose 77-57. Gabe Cupps with a team-high 2 assists in that one. I brought that up with Jeff. Staggering. Staggering how inadequate we were at moving the ball. Number 3, Louisville. That Louisville game, we just gave them a launch pad, you fools. You fools. We gave them a launch pad. Number 2, March 15th, 2024. Sure, they were the higher seed, but Indiana on the bubble needs a good showing against number 3 seeded Nebraska as the number 6 seed to possibly get into the NCAA tournament. Go out and lose 93-66. What a gross way to end with a talent like Khalil Ware. Like, what a gross way to end that season. The gross cherry on top, Woodson got ejected in that one, if I remember. Number 1, December 9th, 2023, and this one is entirely personal. These Burke's Big Fives are always personal. They are my opinion. The Holiday Hoopsgiving event in Atlanta. Again, I cannot resent how much I hated actually making the plans going to that. That is what the fans feel when we do this, dude. Why should we get up, get excited to go out and support the Hoosiers, go meet up with old classmates? It's a bummer when you're out there getting beat by Auburn 104-76. Number 1 for me personally, that Auburn game easily. All right, let's get you on to the previews for the week to come. Again, I'm not getting into them too deep. These teams should be easy to handle, and I don't want to dig into Indiana basketball too much right now. Sick and just sick of what we saw. Players, where they currently are in the rankings, Torvik, their record, and then I'll just be sharing some thoughts I want out of the team in both of these matchups because they should be similar matchups. This is a lesser opponent we should just impose our will on. And even though I think the talent can still do it. I expect to see it, man. I still do, which is crazy. But yeah, I fully expect Indiana to have their way with both of these opponents. Miami of Ohio. Oh no, let's start with Sam Houston State on Tuesday. Sam Houston State, they are currently ranked 133 on Torvik with the 101 adjusted offense and the 184 adjusted defense. They are currently 159th in the net. They are coached by Chris Mudge in his second season at the helm for Sam Houston State. The point leader on the team currently, Lamar Wilkerson, is averaging 19.6 points per game with 2.6 rebounds, 1.9 assists, and 47.5% shooting from the floor. He leads the team in, who I wanted to bring up, especially for the Sam Houston State Bearcats, was Dorian Finister, this 6'5 guard. Dorian Finister currently leads the team for rebounding, and Indiana's backcourt rebounding has been utterly abhorrent. So this guy is going to be a problem if we can't find a way to just have these Indiana players understand how they've seen balls bounce off the rim for the last hundreds of thousands of shots that they've seen bounce off the rim. Find a way to rebound it from the backcourt. This guy certainly does, averaging 7 on the season as a guard. Currently averaging 11.4 points. He truly contributes, I mean, both ends. He is going to be someone to look out for. They're going to be short previews this one. Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio is currently 212th ranked on Torvik. The 4-2 record has them currently with the 210 adjusted offense and the 194th adjusted defense. They are sitting at 146th in the net. So, I mean, their numbers are all over the place between these different analysts and whatnot. They are currently coached by Travis Steele in his third season at the helm. Points leader for them currently is Cam Kraft. That guy is averaging the 6'6 sophomore. Forward is averaging 16.5 points per game on 3.0 rebounds and 0.8 assists. Not so great other than that scoring. He is going to be a threat in that regard. He is currently shooting 44.7% from the floor. Another Red Hawk to look out for on the Miami team is junior forward 6'9", Antoine Wolfolk. He is currently averaging 9.2 points per game, 6.8 rebounds, 1.3 assists, and shooting 60% from the floor. Just what I want to see from the Hoosiers in these two games, both of them together. Please find a baseline consistency. This will not be able to, like, we will not be able to tell that we have a baseline consistency after these two games especially, but please just start establishing something resembling baseline consistency. The games can be won in a way to climb these rankings. Even then, like, these teams can be beat in a way that you can positively affect your net, even against these guys. It requires a consistent intensity that's not letting up, even when you're up 15. No, it presses harder because it wants to be up 30. We have the opportunity to do that against these teams. We just need the motor, need the emotion, need the presence of mind to go out there and get it, to see the opportunity in these games. I want to revamp backcourt again. I said it before. I want them to find bodies. I want them to rebound. I want them to box out. There shouldn't be anybody just standing watching balls fly off the board. This backcourt is too talented, too quick to be just leaving the basics. Just letting them slide by. The revamp backcourt has to go for more than 2 points in a game. Okay, we went out and got the backcourt, Mike. It at some point they need to produce, or else there is one common factor between all these rosters. I certainly hope you would figure it out who I was talking about there. If Indiana's backcourt contribute, like, they just continue to rebound like that, these teams could beat us. These teams could beat us. These teams will beat us if the guards leave opportunities for second chance buckets.
Yeah, that is the extent of the preview you're going to get out of me for today. Again, I wish I had a little more inspiration from the Hoosiers to really, really provide you that extra insight. But that's all you're going to get here. The Hoosiers need to go out and handle business. Get me excited to talk about them, and then I'll give you a little more that I'm talking about. It's crazy. Give me something, Hoosiers. Give me something. Thank you. Now it's on to your Hoosier history hit. John T. Thompson was born on December 31st, 1860, in Newport, Kentucky. He was born to Lieutenant Colonel James Thompson and his mother, Maria Taliaferro. He attended Indiana University and was a member of the Beta Theta Pi fraternity. After a year of class in 1877, he gained an appointment to the United States Military Academy at West Point, and where he graduated in June of 1882. His first duty station was the Newport Barracks, where he was assigned to the 2nd Artillery as a second lieutenant. He then attended engineering and artillery schools and was finally assigned to the Army's Ordnance Department in 1890, where he spent the rest of his military career. During this period, he began specializing in small arms. With the beginning of the Spanish-American War, Thompson was promoted to lieutenant colonel and sent to Tampa, Florida as chief ordnance officer for the commander of the Cuban campaign, General William R. Shafter. While the rest of the army was plagued with logistical problems, Thompson was able to handle his business and just get out more than 18,000 tons of ammunition transferred to the battlefield from his Tampa command center. It was also at this time that Thompson was exposed to automatic weapons for his first time. At the request of Lieutenant John H. Parker, Thompson arranged for the informal formation of a Gatling gun unit. I'd brought up Gatling 2 episodes ago. Again, a tie to Indiana there. He had 15 weapons in that and a generous supply of ammunition all shipped to Cuba on Thompson's sole authority. This was all during the Spanish-American War. When World War I began in Europe in 1914, Thompson was sympathetic to the Allied cause. And since the USA did not join immediately, he said, you know what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to help them. They need significant small arms improvement. I'm going to go help them step up their game. Thompson retired from the Army in November to go out there and serve as the chief engineer of the Remington Arms Company. While with the company, he supervised the construction of the Eddystone Arsenal in Chester, Pennsylvania, at that time the largest small arms plant in the world, manufactured by Pattern 1914. Oh, it manufactured Pattern 1914 Enfield rifles for British forces and Mosin Nagant rifles for Russia. Again, back when Russia was our allies, so you got to remember that. The introduction of trench warfare in the war changed tactics substantially, and in 1916, Thompson was experimenting again with automatic small arms. This time, he was attempting to design a weapon that troops could use to clear an enemy trench. He wanted a so-called trench boom, is what he called it, a trench boom. And Thompson studied several designs and was impressed with the delayed blowback breech system designed by John Blish, a commander in the United States Navy. With Blish as a partner, Thompson obtained the necessary venture capital to form the Auto Ordnance Company and began working on the design of what eventually became the Thompson submachine gun. So he is the inventor of the Tommy gun. Went to Indiana University for a year. Just wanted to bring that up and show you that. Yeah, another gun tied Indiana University. Great for us. Another, you know, just merchant of death tied to Indiana University. All right, let's get you on out of here with, bye. Thank you so much for putting up with my illness, for putting up with my curmudgeonry. I'm going to be fine. We are going to be fine. This program will be fine because we are supporting it. We are relentless in our love for this program, our passion for this program. We will be okay. I certainly hope that things can be addressed and we can be okay a lot sooner than later. But nonetheless, we'll make this through. We'll make it through these tough times together, Hoosier fans. I truly hope you and yours have a blessed week. I'll be back here next week recapping the Sam Houston game and the Miami game. I can't thank you enough for listening. God bless you and yours. Take it easy. Lux at Veritas. Bye.